Good morning. It must be cooler on this side of the sanctuary this morning. We welcome you to Gates Presbyterian Church on this beautiful, another beautiful summer morning. And whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. And a few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways that we are churched together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a calendar and list of announcements. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive your questions. We do have a few announcements this morning. We'll get started. Keith, you can sprint your way up here.
Good morning. Yesterday was our second annual Clinker Bricks 5K run walk, and it was a huge success, like last year. Thanks first to God for holding off the rain and the heat and a little of the humidity, not too bad, but the weather was great. And we had more participants than last year, which is good. We're growing. We raised more money than last year. I think we're going to be about $1,700. We want to thank the business sponsors that we had this year that donated financially: Westside Pediatrics, Vail Insurance, Jeremiah's, and GMR. We had about 140 participants. About two-thirds of that was female. So guys, we got to get out there and do a better job. After worship, we do have leftover bagels and fruit and some milk that we would either give away or ask for a donation. And we also have t-shirts, extra t-shirts. So if you'd like to get a souvenir t-shirt, come on down and see me. Thanks.
So if you see me wincing or taking a few extra moments to stand for those hymns, I'm part of the two-thirds that ran the race yesterday. All right, a few other announcements. Laura, there we go.
Good morning. If you look in your bulletin, you will see that we have a Quidditch match this afternoon. And I'm here to invite you all to come play or watch or both. If you don't know anything about Harry Potter or Quidditch, that's totally fine. Don't worry. I will be explaining everything before the match, and I'll be around on the patio after worship if you have any questions then. You just have to be ready to have some fun. So I look forward to seeing you there. Thanks.
I have a few announcements. First of all, you would have been very proud of your junior highs last week. They had their mission work project. They worked extremely hard, and I'd like for you to give them a hand of thanks right now. And next week, we're leaving the 5th of August, is the senior high work project. Senior highs meet in the parking lot at 8 o'clock, not before them, 8 o'clock. We're not leaving at 8, but meet at 8, because I won't be there. It'll be amazing if I'm there at 8. last-minute request on that, if any of you are headed toward the office anytime this week and have old magazines you'd like to get rid of, we had a last-minute project we thought of, and I need old magazines. So any kind. A variety's great. And in addition, do you remember those little packs of seeds that you got? I believe it was June 10th on the Children's Day. I'm sure you all went home and planted them, and they are growing now and full of vegetables. So if you would bring some of those vegetables back, next week we'll have the table out, and we will take any fresh vegetables we get, we'll take to the local food kitchens. Thank you.
And that table will be set up for quite a few weeks, right, Carolyn? So you have many weeks until fall, so hopefully those abundant gardens are producing. Let us now prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God. Stand if able for the call to worship. Today is a day especially for you to find peace and hope. Come, rest in the Lord. Let the demands of your week melt away in God's presence.
Thank you.
when we come to God confessing our sins, we can be assured that God forgives us over and over again. Please join me in the prayer confession in the bulletin. Let us pray. Refresher of grace, we admit that sometimes we are too tired to even follow along with the words of this prayer. We give into the shallow emptiness we feel by filling it with more to do rather than being filled with the fullness of your grace. Forgive us, God. You love us more than we can ever know. Live in our hearts through faith so that our roots are grounded in your love. Hear us now as we silently confess our sins. Amen. God's love is lavished upon us. It is always there for us, offering healing and hope. Grounded in love, rooted in discipleship, we offer ourselves in service to others, recognizing the limitless grace that is ours to share in Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. Good morning. I'm glad to see you all today. Do you remember back, a long time ago, actually, when I gave you the little tiny mint leaves that smelled so good? Well, today I brought a mint plant to show you. It's the whole plant. And it's growing in my yard. What are these? Roots, right, roots. And why does a plant need roots? So it can grow, but what does it get from the with the food? That's right. If it's deep down in the ground, the rich, fertile ground, it gets nutrients from the ground, from the dirt. That's exactly right. The nutrients get in the roots and go up and feed the plant. So, do we have roots? Look on your feet to be sure. Look, shake them off. I don't see any roots. Yeah, it's kind of silly, isn't it? Yet, in the Bible verse that Melissa's about to read, the Apostle Paul tells us to be rooted in God's love. Rooted in God's love. But we don't have roots. So, what can that mean? You know, I think it means that when we live in God's love, then we're able to share God's love. And by living in God's love, we do nice things to other people. For example, how many of you have either match cars or My Little Ponies? Anybody have any of those? I thought you might. Now, suppose you have, like, a lot of My Little Ponies or a lot of cars, and you have a friend that doesn't have a single one. What is one loving thing you can do? That's right. Share yours. Maybe give one or two to your friends so that your friend would also have a My Little Pony or car. Give your friends all of your cars. That would really be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? You all have lots of good ideas about being rooted in God's love. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, God, for your love. Help us
to be rooted in it, and to share your love with others. Amen. All right, you may go back to your families.
The first scripture reading is Psalm 14. Fools say in their hearts, "There is no God." They are corrupt and do evil things. Not one of them does anything good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humans to see if anyone is wise, to see if anyone seeks God. But all of them have turned bad. Everyone is corrupt. Not one does good. Not even one person. Are they dumb, all those evildoers, devouring my people like they are eating bread, but never calling on the Lord? Count on it. They will be in utter panic, because God is with the righteous generation. You evildoers may humiliate the plans of those who suffer, but the Lord is their refuge. Let Israel's salvation come out of Zion. When the Lord changes his people's circumstances for the better, Jacob will rejoice. Israel will celebrate.
Amen. I love the way in summer we celebrate the gifts that God has given us, especially those who are very talented in music. Thank you, Ben, this morning. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love, I pray that you have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. During the time that I spent serving as a hospital chaplain, and now the many years in pastoral ministry, it never ceases to amaze me the insensitive words that come out of the mouths of otherwise very well-meaning people. Those words that are spoken to people who are grieving. I can't count the number of times someone has said to a couple who is grieving the loss of a pregnancy, "Well, at least you can have children." Right. But that doesn't exactly make the hurt someone feels about that loss any less. Or I would be a very rich person if I had a nickel for the number of funerals when I have stood with families and heard someone say, "This is all part of God's divine plan." I muffled a chuckle once when a person looked squarely at that individual and said, "Well, God's plan stinks." I agree. This theological line of thought rarely brings comfort, but it can lead people to wonder why. Why would God make it part of the plan to cause them such hurt? And someone doesn't have to be grieving the loss through death for these kind of statements to be heard either. If you've ever been through a job loss, mental health struggles, a cancer diagnosis, divorce, whatever, I'm sure you're all familiar with the phrase, "God never gives you more than you can handle." Anyone who's ever been around me when I've heard that statement knows that I just cringe, because it isn't comforting to think that God doesn't know you as well as you were hoping. And no one knows us as well as we would like them to when we are struggling. And the phrase, "I know exactly how you feel," just cuts through us. No, you don't know how this feels. You may have gone through something similar and can lend a unique amount of empathy, but you just don't know. We all experience even what may seem to be identical situations very differently. So it's just not helpful to say. And apparently, I'm not the only pastor who gets fed up with these grieving one-liners, because I came across a pastor on Etsy. If you're not familiar with Etsy, it's okay. It's, think of a very, very large craft show all on one website. It's like that. Well, this pastor makes her own greeting cards for what she describes as alternative cards for those who think sympathy cards in the card aisle are lame. And the pictures on the cards remind me of those Facebook posts of the cute dogs and cats. You've seen them. But it's what they say inside that get me. One card reads, "I can't imagine how hard this is. I promise to slap anyone who says anything trite or dismissive about what you're going through." Another says, "My hands sometimes get sweaty, but I promise to sit and hold your hand as long as you want." And another, "I promise to sit in the silence with you as long as you want me by your side, long after the food sign-up sheet ends." I want to just order a whole bunch of these and just start passing them out to people as reminders of what you can say and do with those who are hurting. It doesn't have to be poetic, but it does have to be real. In our letter this morning that we are continuing through this summer to the church in Ephesus, Paul, or whoever is pretending to be Paul, is very real as he writes this letter and responds to the anguish and the frustration of the early Christian community in Ephesus. These early followers of Christ were Jews, and they knew firsthand the devastation of loss of life, home, and land, traditions, to the violence from conquering empires like Assyria and Babylon and now Rome. Time and time again, the Jewish community had been defeated, and they struggled to rebuild their cities and carry on. These communities are living in continued uncertainty and fear. And their leader, Paul, is writing them from jail concerning his encounters with the love of the risen Christ. "For this reason," he begins, and he prays for them. Paul's words of prayer express a deep love for this community that he's never even met, and the love that God has for them. "I pray," he writes, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love." He continues, "I pray that you may have the power to comprehend," even though he knows that they don't. None of us really do. One of the most challenging aspects of being in the midst of our own struggles or responding to those going through them is we don't have all the answers to why is this happening. The uncertainty and the lack of control, not knowing what to say or do, it uproots us. And God and Paul keeps praying to God that indeed the roots of God's love are deeper than we can even begin to imagine. And we don't have to understand why all of this is happening to sit beside each other through it. Following the shooting at the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, many were quick to post or publish their own assumptions of why James Holmes went into that theater and opened fire. The responses ranged from blaming America's pro-gun and pro-violence culture to those declaring that the shooter was possessed by Satan. There was one response to all of this that you may have missed. It's another letter, much like the one Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. And this one is written by a Lutheran pastor who serves a congregation an hour outside of Aurora. And she addressed the letter to all who suffer from the shooting in Aurora. She writes, "You don't know me. I'm a pastor at a Lutheran congregation 65 miles north of you in Fort Collins. You may have your own pastor or rabbi or imam. You may not believe in God, but I am also your neighbor. And like many of your neighbors in Colorado and across the country, my heart breaks for you. We, your neighbors, may not have been in that movie theater, but we could have been. It could have been our children, our friends. We want to share words of sympathy, but we know that no words can erase what has happened to you as you grieve for the dead and wait in hospitals for news of the injured. But words we do share may bring little comfort. In the coming days and weeks, you will probably encounter well-meaning people who will say to you it is all part of God's plan, even if we don't understand it now. Everything happens for a reason. And if these words are helpful for you to hear, I'm glad. But if these words tear at already raw places in you and fill you with anger or despair, please know this. Not all people of faith believe these things. I do not believe them. The God I know in Jesus Christ does not use natural disasters or human-caused massacres to reward some and punish others. I believe God is able to reach into sin and death and pull out healing and life. This is a different thing from engineering tragedy for so-called greater purpose. The God I serve and proclaim to others does not cause or desire human suffering. I also suspect many of you, like us, may be asking why. Why did this happen? The media and the justice system will do their best to answer this question in the literal sense, trying to determine why James Holmes apparently entered a movie theater and began shooting at random. In a sense, however, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because even if we get a why, an explanation from the shooter, or a more comprehensive understanding of the circumstances that comes with time, these answers will still not be enough. In its deepest sense, the question why is not a request for a logical explanation. No logical explanation will justify or make sense of what is indefensible and senseless. It is a cry of the heart, an expression of grief. It is a cry as ancient as it was new again this morning. As a person of faith, I say to you, there is holiness in grief, in tears, and in anger. In the refusal to be comforted, there is the understanding that these bullets have torn a rent not only in individual lives, but also in the fabric of life itself, in an understanding of community as it ought to be. Such refusal proves that we have glimpsed and can only imagine a better way of being together in the world. The fact that this event is one of many tragedies and episodes of suffering around the world doesn't diminish its magnitude. In many ways, it makes it sadder. One of the 12 dead in Aurora shooting was an aspiring Colorado sportscaster. And on June 5th, after she had narrowly missed being present at a similar shooting at a Toronto mall, she blogged about the event, asking who would go into a mall full of thousands of innocent people and open fire? Is this really the world we live in? Is this the world we live in? Yes and no. It is a world in which evil and tragedy erupt with shocking frequency and brutal intensity. It is a world in which, despite our attempts to separate good people from bad people, the truth in one writer's words stands. the light separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through the human heart, through all human hearts. And yet this is also a world in which immense kindness and compassion can wash over us in times of greatest need. For those whose trust in humanity has been shattered, as you remember a young man bursting into a place of supposed safety and turning it into a place of destruction, may you also remember communities, places of worship, neighborhoods, and individuals bursting into this situation with love and support. May these times testify not to the power of evil to destroy community, but to the greater power drawing a community together to stand with one another. The author writes, "I call that greater power God, but whether or not we share the same faith, let us share that commitment to life and love that render hatred and evil ultimately powerless. In the end, whatever his motives, Mr. Holmes will have neither the first nor the last word, nor will I. That honor belongs, I believe, to the indestructible love of God. A love that roots us, grounds us, fills us, and empowers us to accomplish abundantly far more than any of us can ever ask or imagine. For this reason, Paul writes to the community in Ephesus, the community in Aurora, and so many communities around this world. For this reason of God's love, we can all open our hearts, offer prayers, and open our sweaty hands for all those who are grieving, hurting, and struggling this day. May it be so. Amen."
Chris Oman to come forward to lead us in our senior high work project commissioning. Chris is representing the youth committee.
I'd also like to invite the participants forward, and I'll call your names. Josh Binko, Alyssa Birkbeck, Jessica Berkovich, Nadia Andalusky, Brandon Faulkner, Ashley Frisch, Jenna Hassenlott, Matt Hassenlott, David Keeling, Laura Keeling, Connor McKenzie, Chris McEntee, Rachel Molina, Beth Oman, Katie Oman, Tyler Phillips, Jesse Pym, Joshua Rodas, Dominique Salem, Alex Thornton, Allison Tuttle, and Keisha Binko, Tracy Berkovich, Bill DeCero, Vicky Gutel, Keith Hadley and Mary Hadley, Kay Harder, Larry Hassenlop, Nancy Hassenlop, and Brenda Thornton.
Mission Work Project participants, you are about to embark on a journey, both a physical journey and a spiritual journey. Your travels will take you to Columbus, Ohio. You will work with the organization Rebuilding Together, repairing homes for low-income homeowners. Do you promise to open your hearts to the people you are serving? If so, please say, I do. Will you promise to share your gifts and ideas as you work and play together in mutual ministry? Will you promise to support each other, to affirm each other, and to be open to God's Spirit working through and among you? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
Advisors, you have accepted God's call to serve as youth advisors on this trip. Do you promise to be diligent in your ministry, to provide youth an example of Christian discipleship, to have fun with the youth, to work cooperatively with each other, and to be open to God's Spirit working through you and among you? If so, please say, I do. Members of Gates Presbyterian Church, will you keep the Senior High Mission Work Project participants in your prayers, praying for spiritual awareness, enthusiastic service, Christian community, and safety? If so, please say, I will. Let us pray. God of all people in all places, we ask you to embrace this mission team. We pray that all members of the team discover you in the midst of their experiences as they uncover amazing ways to be your faithful servants. Amen.
8 o'clock next Sunday morning. I invite you to share your prayers of joys and your prayers of concerns.
Ginny Barley, I have a joy. I'd like to thank all those who ran yesterday, but particularly those of you who did not run, who volunteered, and who donated food. Thank you so much. It was a huge success.
Kim Bodhorn, I have a joy. On Wednesday, I'm moving to Vermont to start my teaching career. I'll be teaching K-8 music.
Yay! Congratulations.
This is Marjorie Woods, and I'd like to thank everybody for the birthday cards.
Very welcome.
Jean Buettner, Sherry is not here this morning, Sherry now, so I will ask for prayers for Sherry and her family. Her 22-year-old niece was killed in a tragic car accident Monday on her way to college. And so Sherry was in Florida. She came home yesterday. I was hoping maybe she'd get her this morning, but I understand why she's probably at home. And on a lighter note, I had the privilege yesterday of working in the kitchen with some of our youth flipping pancakes. I don't get too much involved with the youth of this church. I do a lot of other things, but I got to tell you, this is the best bunch of kids anywhere.
They're awesome.
Amen.
Bonnie Beckett, our daughter Linda Maupin, and her sons Corey and Max, and her friend Jacob came up from Tennessee just so they could go to the 5K. Corey had a little problem with an asthma attack last night, so they aren't here this morning. But it's a joy to have them up in New York State.
Joy to see them.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of all creation, we stand before you today wondering where we are truly rooted. What is it that feeds us and gives us inner strength? We crave to be grounded in your love so that we can spread that love to others. Yet we know that sometimes we're rooted in fear and are nurtured by excessive safety nets. Our anxieties triumph the joy of your love. Grow us, O God. Nurture us with your sacred gifts. Feed us with your spirit. O God of all nations, as we watch athletes peacefully gather for the Olympics, we yearn for the world's peoples to peacefully gather to win against world hunger, environmental concerns, and other global problems. We give you thanks for the inspiration of Olympic global cooperation. And when the games are over, help us to continue to see ourselves as part of a global neighborhood. And we continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in Colorado. Give us the courage to have national conversations about being in the world in a better way. Be with the friends and family members of those grieving. And we pray for those in our own congregation going through difficult times, for Jack Westfall and his family, for Margaret Walker and her family. Hear now our silent prayers for others. God, we ask you now to hear us as we pray together the prayer your Son taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Gracious God, you root and ground us in your love. May we be filled with all the fullness of you and reach out our hands, hearts, and gifts to all those in need. Amen.
And as we go from this place, may our lives indeed reflect that thanksgiving for the abundance of love that we are filled with from God. And so go, rooted and grounded in faith of that love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.